from wealth is good to wealth is bad. A second strategic change in left strategy involved a more audacious change of ethical standards. Traditionally, Marxist socialism had supposed that providing adequately for human needs was a basic test of a social system's morality. The achievement of wealth, accordingly, was a good thing, since wealth brought with it better nutrition, housing, health care, and leisure time. And so capitalism was held to be evil because Marxists believed that it denied most of its population the ability to enjoy the fruits of wealth. But as it became clear that capitalism is very good at producing the wealth and delivering the fruits, and that socialism is very bad at it, two new variations on left thought turned this argument on its head and began to condemn capitalism precisely for being so good at producing wealth. One variation of this argument appeared in the increasingly popular writings of Herbert Marcuse. Soon to be the leading philosopher of the New Left, Marcuse was best known for bringing the views of the Frankfurt School to prominence in the English-speaking world, especially in North America. Trained in philosophy in Germany, Marcuse had been an assistant to Heidegger from 1928 to 1933, and in his Metaphysics and Epistemology, Marcuse was mining the same Hegelian vein that Heidegger was. Politically, though, Marcuse was deeply engaged with Marxism and concerned with adapting Marxism to the unforeseen resilience of capitalism in resisting revolution. Following Marx, Marcuse believed that the historical purpose of the proletariat was to be a revolutionary class. Its task was to overthrow capitalism. But that presupposed that capitalism would drive the proletariat into economic misery, which capitalism had failed to do. Instead, capitalism had produced great amounts of wealth, and, here is the innovation, capitalism had used that wealth to oppress the proletariat. By making the members of the proletariat wealthy enough to become comfortable, capitalism had created a captive class. The proletariat had become locked into the capitalist system, dependent upon its goodies, and enslaved by the goal of climbing the economic ladder and to, quote, the aggressive performances of earning a living, unquote. Not only was this a veiled form of oppression, Marcuse argued, the proletariat had become distracted from its historical task by the comforts and gadgets of capitalism. Capitalism's producing so much wealth, therefore, is bad. It is in direct defiance of the moral imperative of historical progress towards socialism. It would be much better if the proletariat were in economic misery under capitalism, for then they would realize their oppression and then be psychologically primed to perform their historical mission. The second variation was seen in the left turn that rising concern with environmental issues took. As the Marxist movement splintered and mutated into new forms, left intellectuals and activists began to look for new ways to attack capitalism. Environmental issues, alongside women's and minorities issues, came to be seen as a new weapon in the arsenal against capitalism. Traditional environmental philosophy had not been, in principle, in conflict with capitalism. It had held that a clean, sustainable, and beautiful environment was good because living in such an environment made human life healthier, wealthier, and more enjoyable. Human beings, acting to their advantage, change their environments to make them more productive, cleaner, and more attractive. In the short run, there are often costs and trade-offs between economic growth and environmental cleanliness. But the argument ran, in the middle and long run, a healthy economy is compatible with a healthy environment. As human beings become richer, they have more disposable income with which to make their environments cleaner and more beautiful. The new impetus in environmental thinking, however, brought the Marxist concepts of exploitation and alienation to bear upon environmental issues. As the stronger party, humans necessarily exploit harmfully the weaker parties, the other species, and the non-organic environment itself. Consequently, as capitalist society develops, the result of the exploitation is a biological form of alienation. Humans alienate themselves from the environment by despoiling it and making it unlivable, and non-human species are alienated by being driven to extinction. On this analysis, the conflict between economic production and environmental health, then, is not merely in the short run, it is fundamental and inescapable. the production of wealth itself is in mortal conflict with environmental health, and capitalism, since it is so good at producing wealth, must therefore be the environment's number one enemy. Wealth, therefore, was no longer good. Living simply, avoiding producing or consuming as much as possible, was the new ideal. The impetus of this new strategy, captured perfectly in the title of Rudolf Barrow's book, From Red to Green, integrated with the new emphasis on equality over need. In Marxism, humankind's technological mastery of nature was a presupposition of socialism. Marxism was a humanism in the sense of putting human values at the core of its value framework and assuming that the environment is there for human beings to use and enjoy for their own ends. But egalitarian critics began to argue more forcefully, just as males putting their interests highest led them to subjugate women, and just as whites putting their interests highest led them to subjugate all other races, humans putting their interests highest had led to the subjugation of the other species and the environment as a whole. The proposed solution, then, was the radical moral equality of all species. We must recognize not only that productivity and wealth are evil, but that all species, from bacteria to woodlice to aardvarks to humans, are equal in moral value. Quote, deep ecology, unquote, as radical egalitarianism applied to environmental philosophy came to be called, thus rejected the humanistic elements of Marxism and substituted explicitly Heidegger's anti-humanist value framework. In effect, by rejecting high-tech socialism and substituting a vision of low-tech, egalitarian socialism, this new left strategy also resolved to quote Marx less and to quote Rousseau more.